Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're going to begin our conversation with the biggest nuclear threat remains Russia. Experts warn that latest missile test is a wake-up call. Washington. U.S. officials believe Russia just tested a missile that, if perfected, could deliver nuclear warheads in a doomsday scenario. Observers suspect an explosion that killed five scientists in a recent weapons test involved a nuclear-powered weapon, a missile capable of delivering warheads at long range and high speeds. Russians call it the Berestnik. The Berestnik. Defense experts see it as a wake-up call. The biggest nuclear threat remains Russia because they're the only other country with an arsenal that does pose an existential threat to the United States. Eric Edelman, former Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, tells CBN News. Last year, Russian President Vladimir Putin unveiled the development of Berestnik, dubbed Skyfall by NATO. A vengeance weapon is how Russia's government newspaper describes it, one designed to target remaining vital infrastructure after Russia's intercontinental ballistic missiles have already struck enemy territory. Putin says Skyfall's nuclear propulsion would give it unlimited range and the ability to strike quickly. However, there's been a lot of trouble in its development. The explosion on a testing platform in the Arctic was followed by a spike in radiation in a nearby city. President Trump responded tweeting, "The United States is learning much from the failed missile explosion in Russia. We have similar, though more advanced technology. The Russian Skyfall explosion has people worried about the air around the facility and far beyond. Not good." End of tweet. Many experts are skeptical Skyfall will ever be perfected. But if the Russians can pull it off, they agree it's impractical for anything short of all-out nuclear war. We've grown very complacent in all of this because since 1945, nobody has used nuclear weapons in anger. And so I think there's a tendency to think no one will ever do this, Edelman says. After years of alleged Russian violations, the U.S. formally withdrew from the INF Treaty, which aimed to reduce the arsenal of nuclear weapons by both sides. If the Russians do succeed in making Skyfall, work, they'll likely build hundreds of them, which could launch a new Cold War-style arms race. Well, that's what's going on over in Russia right now. In Hong Kong, people are not able to leave the airport because thousands of protesters have blocked the airport for the last couple of days. International flights have been canceled. Hundreds of flights have been canceled. And the people of Hong Kong are waving American flags and they're wanting democracy. They want a new form of government. They don't like what's going on at this point, and time will tell where that's going to go. We've seen uproars since Venezuela. Haven't heard much about Venezuela lately, have we? It's been kind of out of the news, but we know that the stories coming out of Venezuela were harsh, and they were hard to handle for a lot of people because of the suffering that was taking place there. But we've seen this kind of activity all over the world. We are witnessing a global shaking. And ladies and gentlemen, I could only say that the shaking is going to increase. It is not going to subside. And we've seen right here in the good old USA shakings in many different ways. And what will shake next? Only God knows. Well, what I'd like to do for just a moment is kind of recap what we talked about yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about the spirit of Absalom. And if anybody took the time to do some research about the entirety of how things got to that point, it's a very interesting story. It's actually better than a Hollywood movie. If you have your spiritual eyes open and your imagination, I mean, you witnessed the conflict that went on in that family that appears to have all begun with the sin of David and Bathsheba. And how the prophet Nathan said that the sword will never leave your home. What a sad, sad state of affairs. You know what, though? In Jesus Christ, that sword departs. Anybody that turns to the Lord, regardless of what they've had to suffer for generations, even the children of Israel, when they broke the laws of Yahweh, when they came to faith in Yeshua, the new covenant was, I will remember your sins no more and your iniquities no more. So the way out of destructive curses or things that have happened within the family bloodline is through Jesus Christ. And it is real, and it is simple, and it is swift, and it is accurate when we understand exactly what God is saying. You know, there are people today that are struggling with a sin conscience. There are people today that are struggling with emotional stirrings in their innermost being over their past sins and grievances. And that will continue on until the individual applies the finished work of Jesus Christ to that area of their lives. Now, I know many people, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but I know that many people have regrets about their past. They feel bad about the things that they have done. And they, you know, the devil kind of exploits those areas where it's not finished, where the blood has not been applied. And at different times and in different seasons, the devil likes to come back and represent to the mind of the individual those past sins to bring condemnation, guilt, and shame that those sins automatically carry. But to the individual that has not only buried them, but has allowed the blood of the Lamb to take away the sin of the world, well, that is a success story in and of itself. But the fact remains that people are guilty for the things that they've done. And I cannot imagine the mental consternation of individuals that have participated in the grossest of sins. People that have been involved in pedophilia, people that have been involved in homosexuality, lesbianism. The condemnation that the devil would bring against their lives would be horrific. And they would... How about the man that has shed innocent blood? How about the man that has murdered or the man that has killed or the man that has raped? In the case of Absalom, the reason why Absalom was on the run and turned the way he did was because his brother, half-brother, David's son from another mother, Amnon, he had raped Absalom's genuine sister. Absalom and Tamar were from the same seed and the same mother. But Amnon, another son of David, feigned he was sick, as you know the story, and lured Tamar into his chamber and raped her, forcibly raped her, and then hated her. He loved her at first, but he hated her more after he raped her. That's a psychosis right there. We need to examine why someone would go through all of that, because he loved her, told his friend he loved her. He was sick with love for her. And then when he took possession of her and forced her and raped her, the Bible literally says he hated her more than he loved her. But when Absalom got wind of this 2 years later, vengeance was in his heart the whole time. And he finally made his play to murder him, and thus the story goes. Now, somebody that has raped another individual, somebody that has shed blood, somebody that has been involved in sexual perversity, somebody that has just done really, really bad stuff, you can imagine how the adversary of their soul would want to remind them of their sin and bring that condemnation, that guilt, and that shame. And the individual in their battle really struggles to release from themselves what they've done. And even when they step into the blood covenant and they declare the word of God, the adversary, the accuser, is right there condemning them for saying, well, what right do you have to just, you know, how could you just be forgiven? You know how people are. How do we just forgive that? How do you just forgive yourself for what you did? Look what you did. Well, maybe your case is not rape. Maybe it's not murder, shedding innocent blood. Maybe you haven't been a homosexual, a lesbian, whatever it is, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the fact of the matter is that the sin that we were born with was big enough to send us directly to hell. And you know that that's true, and I know that's true. So here is the word of God. Now, I want you to look at this list because it covers just about everything, okay? This covers everything. So if you happen to be listening today and there are things in your background, things that you have done that you are ashamed of, that you are guilty of, that you have a struggle with mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you're struggling with these things, please remember the good news of the gospel is a gospel of grace to forgive and to cleanse and to heal and to restore. Yes, you can't do anything about the person you killed. You can't do anything about the woman you raped. You can't do anything about the sin you've committed in the past. It is what it is. It's done. It was sinful. But consider again the mercy of God, the depth of God's grace, because it's not men that you have to worry about accusing you, and it's not the devil that you have to worry about accusing you. The only being in the universe that you have to be concerned about not forgiving you, accusing you, condemning you is God himself. But God has sworn by himself in a new covenant that he invites us into, his covenant, that he would remember our sins and iniquities no more. That is his choice. And we say, but what? Look what we've done. Look what I did. Look how horrible this was, how bad this was. Yes, and you've confessed it. And in your heart, you would say, I regret that I did that. I would never do that again. But I'm bringing it to the mercy seat so that the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, my Messiah, the Lamb of God, will take away that sin. Now, that blood of Yeshua is at work in your conscience. That blood of Yeshua is at work. It is the mercy blood. But listen, it's the same blood that cleanses the little boy that stole a cookie from the cookie jar. That is just as sinful, and being born with the sin element, all are guilty before God. There's not one person in the planet now or ever has been or ever will be that is born into this world guiltless. We all have the sin nature of Adam, and without the saving grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ, we are all condemned to eternal damnation and separation from God. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So we have to continue to press into the finished work, into the law of liberty. We must continue to press in until we see ourselves completely emancipated, completely forgiven, completely guiltless. Why? Because we deserve it? No. But because God swore by himself that it was his plan in order to reconcile his creation, the Jew first and then the Gentile, to reconcile his creation back to himself, that he would send his son to pay the price for the sins of the whole world. That you and I have to know that what we did, the penalty that we deserved, went upon Jesus Christ. It has not gone unpaid for. Your sin has been paid for. Jesus took it with 39 stripes upon his back when they ripped his hair out of his face, when they crowned him with thorns, when they punched him and spit on him, when they beat him and stabbed him and nailed him to the cross. That was for your sin and mine. You never let the devil tell you, well, you're getting away with something by your fairy tale faith in Jesus. You know, you got to pay for what you did. Well, if that were true, nobody can. There's no offering that we could ever give for what we have done. But God didn't let our sin go unpunished. He never said, I would let your sin go unpunished. No, the full exact measure of punishment every one of us were due was placed upon the body of his son. His son tasted death for every man. His son went to hell. His son went. And when you and I put our faith in Jesus, it cannot be casual. And we can't say, well, you know, I didn't murder anybody. I didn't rape anybody. I wasn't a homosexual, a lesbian. I wasn't any of the, well, you're still penalized. You're still born with sin. And without the nature of Jesus, without the grace of God, there is no salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Watch this. It says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, so who's unrighteous? Ladies and gentlemen, without the righteousness of Jesus being put to your account and mine, we have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, period. There's no good deeds. There's no good work. There's nothing that you and I can do to pay for our sins, whether they big or little. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's telling them, lest the you know they get into works. Maybe the Judaizers were going back into Corinth and telling those Christians, but you got to take the law of Moses too, get into good works, get into all these things. Well, Paul's saying, listen. There is no righteousness of the law that can emancipate you, that can forgive you or rend you guiltless. The law couldn't do that. The law could bring nothing to perfection. So rather than doing that, Paul lays out the line and says, there's not a human being on the planet that's going into the kingdom of God. No one's going to inherit the kingdom of God in unrighteousness. And he makes it clear, everyone's unrighteous until they receive the righteousness of Christ. Then he goes on and said, be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Have you ever fornicated? Have you ever had sex outside the marriage bed? People argue about that want to have sex outside the marriage bed. They try to change the meanings and make it all one thing to say something. Listen, fornication is having sex with yourself or with somebody else outside the marriage bed. Okay? So, don't you know? Don't be deceived, no fornicators, nor idolaters. You say, well, I've never been an idolater. I've never built a statue and bowed down and worship it. You don't have to build a statue to be an idolater. Money could be your idolatry. Your children could be your idolatry. Your spouse can be your idolatry. Your religion could be your idolatry. Your church could be your idolatry. Your money could be your idolatry. Your house could be your idolatry. Your car could be your idolatry. Your looks could be your idolatry. You could be your own idol. And you may worship other people and think about other things. Your government could be your idol. You can go on down the list. And he says very clearly, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Have you ever committed adultery? Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. Jesus said, if you're angry at your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. If you're angry with your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. I mean, this is powerful. These are spiritual truths. And so he goes on, nor effeminate. And the word effeminate there means homosexual. Okay? And so the homosexual issue, the lesbian issue, Romans chapter 1 makes it very clear. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. And yet they're telling the entirety of the homosexual community that God's with them, God tolerates them, they're all going to heaven. Paul says, don't be deceived, neither abusers of themselves with mankind. What is an abuser with mankind? abusers of themselves are the twisted sense of going back to Romans chapter 1 again, where there is the natural law of things being overwhelmed by the unnaturalness of our conduct. We move on. Verse 10, nor thieves. Have you ever stole anything? Nor covetous. Do you desire what somebody else has? Nor drunkards. Nor revilers. Are you a reviler? Nor extortioners. Listen what he says. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. None of them, nobody that does these things will inherit the kingdom of God. What does Paul do? He basically nails human behavior and conduct and the general sin of the human race right before them, like the great reformer Martin Luther King laid his theses upon the door at Edinburgh, right? Said, here it is. And Paul just kind of said, here it is, Corinthians. You are not righteous in yourself. If you go to the Judaizers and take on the law, you're not going to be made righteous. And every sin that is common to man, you've committed in one form or another, at one level or another. And don't be deceived. When you do it, you're guilty. But then he says this. Paul brings the good news. And he said in verse 11, and such were some of you. Now he's writing to the Christians. He's telling them, such were some of you. You know how dirty the Corinthians were. I mean, they were unclean people, right? I mean, their sins were despicable, like everybody else's, but more pointed out in this context. And he said, and such were some of you, but you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified, treated just as though you never sinned, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Somebody out there today needs to know that such were some of you. But rather than living out of that past, rather than being guilty, ashamed, and condemned, and going over and over and over and over and over about those things, you need to know right now that you've been washed. How were they washed? Did they go and wash themselves? Not necessarily. They washed themselves by receiving the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They were baptized. They were washed. They were forgiven. The whole purpose of water baptism is to, in symbolic form, show the individual that they've confessed their sins, they've admitted everything they've done, but when they go under that water, that is a death burial experience. And when you come under that water, you are now buried, and all those sins that you have admitted and confessed are now under. And then when you come out of the water, you're coming out without those sins. You're coming out completely washed. There's supposed to be a conscious recognition that the baptism into Jesus Christ, the baptism of water, is the washing. But then we continue to wash ourselves through the washing of the water of the Word. We stay in the Word of God. We continue to look into the perfect law of liberty. There's no greater perfect law of liberty than the Word of God itself. So you are washed through baptism, through the washing of the water of the Word, through the finished work of Jesus. Remember when he was on the cross and they stabbed him in the side, blood and water came out of his side. Both the blood and the water were the cleansing to the conscience, to the soul, of every individual that will believe. But not only were they washed, you are sanctified. And that word sanctified means to be holy, to be set apart. When you come up out of that water washed symbolically, well, you're sanctified symbolically. You've been totally separated from the world you once lived in. Your conscience is separated from the things you once did. Why? Because it's been paid for in full. You're now stepping into the paradigm of God where your new life is going to commence. You've now been born again. And now you are justified in the name of the Lord, which means God is now treating you on the equal plane of one that has never sinned. He has justified you by his blood. He has justified you by your faith in his blood. And he did it in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God makes all these things real in the life of a believer. Yesterday, when we were studying about Absalom, there was an explosion in the spirit world. There was a real massive explosion. We touched on something huge yesterday. And I'm not even so sure how far-reaching it is, but it's almost like spiritual intelligences awoke and their eyes were shifted, you know, and there was movement in the spiritual world by this thing. But I want you to know that the powerful blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse that entire mess that David was involved in, his family was involved in, the curses that came by the prophet Nathan, all of it consumed in the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness, mercy, grace, washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It is imperative for you and I to shift, totally shift into this reality. Your mind, my mind, your conscience, my conscience, your subconscious needs to be free of guilt for the way that you treated your spouse, the way that you treated your children, the way that you treated your friends, the things that you did. How harsh are they? Well, can you imagine the man that allowed himself to go into the sexually perverse activities of homosexuality? Now he gets delivered and set free. Some of you were effeminate homosexuals, lesbians, some of you, but you're washed. But the devil wouldn't want that to be just forgiven. I mean, the devil rages in the courtroom of heaven, says, how could you just let that go? You can't just let that go. That person has to pay for that. Well, the moment we think we're going to pay for something, we lose the real meaning of salvation. You can't pay for it. Now, can we produce fruits of repentance? Yes. And that's only the proof that we really have repented, which means we would never do that again. It doesn't mean that we have to live out the guilt, shame, and get the daylights beat out of us by demon spirits. Come on. It's time for liberty, in other words. It's time for freedom. There's an acceleration of ungodly things going on in the world today, and we have to be an end-time army that is able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not in fear against the devil, but to stand against the powers of darkness and say, hey, you're the one that your judgment day is coming. My sins are forgiven. Everything I've ever done in my life is forgiven. Even at this very moment, if I've done something that was contrary to God's will and I'm convicted by it, by the Holy Spirit, I immediately confess that thing and it is washed in the blood. I'm forgiven and I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. That is my continual covenant promise with God, that he will continue to cleanse more and more and more. But he does not want us staying in the old sins and the things of the old. Now, listen, every sin we ever committed when we were born in sin, the fact of the matter is that our sin has shaped our personalities. It's true. Our personalities were shaped by our sin. That's why God reshapes us. He refashions us. That's why it's so important to be born again, or born anew, or to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is imperative that we put off the old personality, the old man, and put on the new personality, the pneuma man, the Christ man. It's our responsibility to put it off. We've been given permission to do it. So whatever our sins have shaped us into in our personality and conduct, the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we act, et cetera, we've been given permission to totally put it off and to step into the new paradigm of putting on Christ. We get to put on Christ, the man that loved God, the man that loved people, the man that was energized and empowered by God. And listen, we're all in the journey together. We're all working out this salvation with fear and trembling. We've got to get it right. We've got to get it right. We've got to get the right codes. We've got to have the right combination to unlock everything that inhibits or holds back or restrains us from moving forward in the eternal purpose of God that's in Christ Jesus and moving out in the power of the Spirit of God. Liberty is the thing that the world needs to see in people, not religion, not I go to church and I'm like everybody else. No, there is a baptism for God's people to bring about a new creation species, to bring out a genuine, fruitful, born-again experience so that the enemy could be wiped out. Now, if you or I entertain the devil's condemnation, that's when we get sick. If the devil has been accusing you, and most people don't walk around saying, "Hi, Joe, how are you today?" "Well, I'm fine. How are you?" "Well, not good. The devil's accusing me today about the things I did 4 years ago or the things I did yesterday or the things I did 20 years ago. "Oh, he is? He's condemning you. How's he doing that?" No, most people don't do that. Most people are living in their own being, dealing with their own condemnation, the accusation against them. And it's amazing how the devil can work on so many people at the same time, right? Because there are spirits everywhere. So the individual has to rise up and say, "No, you're not going to accuse me. You're not going to curse me. You're not going to point your finger at me. You're not going to remind me of my past. You're not going to do it." And then they have to learn how to rebuke that spirit, cast it out in the name of Jesus. Now, if the Holy Spirit convicts somebody of what they did do in yesterday or 4 years ago or 20 years ago, then the individual just simply says, "Lord, forgive me. I regret I did that. I don't want to do that. I'm asking you for forgiveness." And that's it. At that moment, it is done. And then you bring forth the fruits of repentance and you don't do that anymore. And if you do it seven more times every day, well, you still got to get up and run your race. A righteous man will fall seven times. The right hand of the Lord will lift him up every single time. So the spiritual hostility, the spiritual battle that is raging in the spiritual atmosphere against God's kids is very, very intense. And it's not just limited to Nigerian slaughter or Chinese Christians being slaughtered or any number of physical events. It is the spiritual battle that is raging on the inward parts of every one of God's kids. And the way we step into the end time army of God with a hundredfold nature of Christ ready to go to battle against the powers of darkness is when the issues are under the blood. Good morning, Patricia Xavier. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today. How are you?
I am wonderfully happy.
Why are you so happy, my dear?
Because it's another day to get it right and to have the knowledge of the truth that deception should not be within our hearts. We should be very pure and clean with our motives. And I believe that's what yesterday was all about. And as much as myself and you, our motives must be pure. And we must learn how to examine them. And I brought down something that I believe God is ready to do at this time because of the examination of yesterday. I think the Lord brought us through spiritual examination of our hearts, souls, and minds, and that we all begin to recognize the motive of the enemy and then the motive of our own hearts so that we could truly be well and perfect before Him. And I call it the Great Awakening. You called it the trumpet sounds. And you wrote this, some time ago. But I'm going to take a portion from it right now and express what I believe is happening to us, to the New Wine Ministry, and to all who are listening. Your light shall expose their darkness, and the work of salvation will be realized in many during this great day of harvest. And I believe that's what the Lord has been preparing us for. Blow the trumpet, sound forth the glorious notes of revival and resurrection power until the notes become so profound, so clear, you must continue. So let us now continue in where we were yesterday. Let us not go back. Let us not go into our old ways, but let us go forward. Let us charge. The trumpet is being blown for us. and the airwaves will be alive with the vibrance of the coming kingdom. And you are commissioned this day to work. You must work now like never before, as I have provided you a foundation to build upon. And what is that foundation? A pure and holy, powerful, mighty foundation where Jesus Christ is the solid rock that we stand upon. And your work shall endure the fire that shall test all things. And Pastor Vincent, I believe we were tested in all things yesterday. And while I shake the nations, your work will stand. As your work stands, the nations shall come and bring their glory into it. I have given you an unshakable kingdom, so we cannot be shaken, because our kingdom is unshakable. It's within us. I have made it, the Lord says. Receive now the unshakable kingdom within you and stand firm upon the promises I have made. You shall not be moved. Let us not be moved by what we heard, but let us be happy that we will not be deceptive, that none of us will take a position of unrighteousness and deceptiveness, and we would be pure and holy in our thoughts and our means and our ways, but more than anything else, within our motives. You shall not be moved. I am bringing forth a brand new reality into ourselves, into the earth, as I am prepared to cause the first heaven and the first earth to pass away. Look up and look to the hasten the day that is upon you. I love you with greater love than one could ever know. My love for you is incomprehensible.
Yeah, very good. And so we're talking, you know, that's so interesting. That actually begins with the seventh trumpet ready to sound, or the seventh trumpet is sounded.
Hallelujah.
I wonder if the people, if we've ever considered this about the trumpets of God, about the vials, about all the different seals that God talks about, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven thunders actually as well, and the seven vials of God. That the seventh trumpet is very interesting. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, it says this: but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Notice, in the days. A lot of times we have this idea that the seventh trumpet will sound and bada bing, everything is done. But here it literally says, but in the days, so there are many days accompanying this, it's a plurality of days. The voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. So the seventh angel will begin to sound. From the very moment that that angel begins to sound, it says the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of what? Many people say this is the mystery of God's salvation, the plan of God's salvation. The mystery of God's will and intent will finally come off, and the blinders will come off, and the minds will open to the reality of what God has been doing all along. We're not going to be in the fog anymore about what God's eternal purpose is. But it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So, Patricia, in Revelation 10:7, the seventh angel begins to sound. There's a sound coming forth out of his trumpet. But then in Revelation 11:15, it says, and the seventh angel sounded. Now, what happens? There were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So when the seventh angel sounds, the transfer of nations takes place. That doesn't happen in 24 hours. That doesn't happen in a second. It doesn't. There's no wand waved and suddenly it is. The voice of the seventh angel begins to sound. God's eternal purpose and plan is revealed to the minds of those he has to do with. And then a little bit later on, the seventh angel sounds his reverberation, because that trumpet will shake the earth. And all of a sudden, the kingdoms of this world are being transferred. But what happens? It says in 16 of Revelation 11, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth." So that seventh angel sounding is the beginning of a phase of things conforming to God's perfect will in eternity. And so I believe the seventh angel, personally, and it's kind of an interesting place to be, but are we not hearing the sound, the beginning of the voice of the seventh angel? I wonder, something to look at as we go.
I need to ask you a question. Is that the last trump that you're speaking of, or is there another trumpet blown?
Well, there's all kinds of prophecy teachers that say that there are different trumpets for this, that, and the other thing. But
how many are there?
Well, there are only seven trumpets.
So you would say that would be the last trumpet blown before the great tribulation that's about ready to hit.
Well, that seventh trumpet, if you really look at Revelation 11, from where it begins, where it sounds, to Revelation 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, all of that is incorporated into chapter 20 within the context of the seventh trumpet.
So would you say that is the last trump?
Well, yeah, the seventh trumpet is the last trump.
The
and
last
when it when it begins to sound, it has a it creates an environment. And then when that seventh angel sounds, that is the context within that seventh trumpet that everything is going to come back. And the ultimate reality is the fulfillment of Jesus Christ's second coming at the last trump.
Well, the last trump.
And it's within that context.
It must have been blown because we're entering into the great tribulation now. I mean, this is a fact. All you have to do is listen and see what's going on around and about you, and it lines up with the word of God. And you wrote this. This is what you said. The last trump is being blown in the earth today. All around the world, the gospel is being preached on television, on radio, and in governmental offices. And it's being done in Trump's office. We know that for sure. President Trump had the ministers of God coming to him on a sometimes a weekly basis, I heard, within government office, within the governmental office. And the voice of the prophets are being sent forth. And we're speaking as watchmen on the wall, and the prophets are speaking everywhere today. You can hear prophecy in every direction, dreams and visions. And it goes on to say that which the Lord gave you, that voice is proclaiming the day of the Lord. And this is what we're proclaiming, but we must get our hearts purified and right for that day. And there are those who would put the brakes on this day, but I say that there is no stopping or turning back. All prophecy is being fulfilled. And I see that with my own eyes. The kingdom is being received by those who have childlike faith, not those with wrong motives, but those with childlike faith. Those who are wise in their own eyes are being kept out. And this is where the spiritual pride comes in that was of Absalom. Those who are wise in their own eyes are being kept out. The traditions of man are blinding him from the present realities that are taking place in the world today. Just as blind were the Pharisees of old, who could not allow the fulfilling of prophecy to come to pass in their own eyes. And today, the modern theologians and religious leaders are skeptical of the dawning of this prophetic day. And this is what God gave you. He put this in your heart. This was many years ago, but it was the call. And I have positioned my people, those who know my heart, and will to issue forth the words of my heart. I have opened up the scriptures to them like a scroll and have given them the ability to speak it forth. I have anointed their lips, and surely their words shall be heard in all the earth. Now, what happened yesterday is the scriptures were being opened to us in a new and living way. We all read about Absalom, but now the Lord was pointing to the church and to the government and to the nations and to the world and saying the Spirit is alive because David, the Son of God, is ready to sit on the throne. He is coming back, and Absalom has been part of a definite negativity within the world.
Well, absolutely. And we're going back to the seventh trumpet. When you look at Revelation chapter 10, what the meaning of that is that that angel that introduces it, for example, it says in verse five of Revelation chapter 10, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And so there comes a sound at a particular time, and it appears that our generation is basically, that's the sound we're hearing. Time no longer. The end times are here. The last days are here. So I believe that this seventh angel began to sound that the mystery of God would be finished. The day of salvation is coming to an end. Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah. The door will shut at some point. The nations of the earth are going to go into consternation. There's going to be a great big war. We know that. The great tribulation is going to commence. I mean, all kinds of stuff are going to happen, and it's putting things together and understanding them, because
the Lord says, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. He is speaking to his people, his holy mountain. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. And this prophecy goes on to say, though the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, there will be those who can no longer resist the truth and will turn from their own philosophy of scripture and be joined to the one true Spirit of the Lord. And that's our hunger at New Wine Ministry, the one true Spirit of the Lord, not a counterfeit spirit body of Christ, but a one true Spirit of the Lord. And I say to those voices who are proclaiming this day that you must continue to blow the trumpet. You must continue to speak forth what I have placed in your heart. You must continue in the passion of truth I have imparted unto you. Each one that are listening by radio today all over the world, do not be afraid to speak, for there are many in your cities that are seeking out truth in this day, and they will hear my heart in you, and they will recognize my voice through you. And many are turning to my word and are seeking out the things that have been written. They shall find those words that were written in advance of their fulfilling. Yet their witness will be found as they see my beloved church walking in the light of what they see and hear. Yes, my glory shall be seen upon you, and the nations shall come unto your light. That which they will read will be seen fulfilled in you. You are my witnesses, and you bear my testimony. Therefore, you shall receive the greater portion, and you shall walk in the demonstration and might of my Spirit. And you shall be looked upon by the eyes of the world as very peculiar, yet they will acknowledge that you are mine. And they will see, and they will turn, and they will come unto me through your witness.
Oh, amen to that. And so it's really an encouraging word to wake people up.
And great awakening.
Yes, the great awakening, and it is time to awaken. Patricia, while you're talking, I'm seeing an orchestra. And, you know, we're wanting to understand God. You know, we hear about people playing, you know, three-dimensional chess, or people that operate in different manners. Can you imagine how deep the foundations of God go? I mean, his spiritual depth is beyond comprehension. Paul cried out, oh, that we might know the length and the depth and the height and the breadth of the love of God. And it is so deep. God is so deep. But when you're in an orchestra, let's say somebody's playing the piano and they've been playing the piano for a while. And there are other musicians playing trumpets, but all of a sudden the violin comes in, and now the violin is bringing forth a sound. The piano continues to play until eventually it gives way to the violin. In other words, I believe that we are on the brink of the opening of the sixth seal, right? And the sound of these things are there. But all of a sudden, the violin begins to play. That's the seventh angel beginning to sound, and yet the piano's still playing. It still has to finish out its chord. It still has to finish out its sound until the violin takes over, until there's a solo in the violin. And I believe that the book of Revelation, it dimensionally, God is just showing us the rapid acceleration of all things coming to their fulfillment and conclusion. And it's something very worthy to study. But what is the point? The point is, we know by the Spirit of God in our generation that Bible prophecy is accelerating, that there must come forth a purified people by the blood of the Lamb that will be able to stand in the last days for the knowledge of what is coming upon the earth. And thank God for the men and women of God. Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for the mercy of God. Thank God for the truth of God, the Spirit of God. You and I are going to be more bold than we have ever been before. We're going to rise to the occasion. And I want to tell a story. And Patricia, you could verify this, okay? Quick little story. Yesterday, after preaching on the Absalom spirit, which I think got the ire and eye of the adversary. I don't know, it was a very strange day all day long, quite frankly.
The enemy was very angry about it.
I think there was exposure, and I think it's good, though. It's all good, because God's people want to be aware. That's why Jesus said, be careful, be aware, don't come under the influence of anything but the Holy Spirit, because it could lead you down the wrong path. So I went out yesterday, and it was, 98 degrees. I think the heat index was about 106. But we have this area in our yard, and there's a beautiful rose bush. It's a rose tree, really. And there are flowers in that bed. But because of all the rain we had, the weeds, the grass grew up, and all you could see is the cover, the grass and the weeds. So I went out there, and I knew it was time to start pulling all that stuff out of there. And so I got my hat on, and I went out there, and I got the trash bin. And I started pulling, put my gloves on, just started pulling, cover, cover, cover. And I'm noticing that this tree, it was thick, and it had these long vines everywhere. And the vines, I could finally see, because I pulled the cover away, I could see that the vines were wrapping around the rose tree, the rose bush. And I noticed that there were some dead things that were growing up around the rose tree, because this other vine had grown up. And so I continued to pull away, and folks, this is awesome. I'm pulling away all the grass. I'm pulling it away. I'm pulling it away. I'm pulling it away until I could finally see that other tree planted right next to the rose tree root system. And I went to wrap my hands around it and pull it. It wouldn't budge. And so I went and I got my machete. I have a machete that will take anything down. And so there I am. I'm going after this thing, and I'm trying to deliver the rose bush from the wrapping environment of these weeds and this tree that grew up and overwhelmed the entire area. And there I am, and I'm hacking away at the root of this thing. And I know that's not the only thing to do. I know that I've got to get down to the root, but I needed to get those vines off of the rose tree because it was choking it to death. And so I'm hacking away. I almost passed out. It was so hot. But I finally got it cut off, and I took a lot of the stuff away, and I've got to finish that up today. I've got to go back in there and finish what I started. But I looked at this, and I said, my God, what about the roots in people's lives that are, and you know what was amazing? These vines were wrapped around parts of the tree, the rose tree, almost integrated into it. But I was able to untwist it, unbind it, but it was strong. And of course, God is teaching me about areas in our lives where God plants his tree of life, the devil puts a tree right next to it, the counterfeit. Everything God does, the devil's right there to counterfeit it and to overwhelm the purposes of God. It's a beautiful rose tree. And I realize that there are roots in our lives that God is wanting to get to. But the thing about the roots is all the grass that was covering it. You couldn't see it. And a lot of times what we're doing in the deliverance ministry is we're just pulling grass away. And we keep laboring, just get the grass out of the way so I could see where the root is. And God is wanting to expose and reveal the root that is destroying the fruit and wrapping itself around it. Patricia, you saw that happen yesterday. What are your thoughts?
I saw in that, when you presented it to me, that the root is the generational bloodline curses that have wrapped around the root of our soul and heart. And the base of all of that is rebellion. That root is the root of rebellion that has such a strength,
wow,
such a power, that to be let loose of it takes the greatest amount of the Spirit of God to deliver us from a spirit of pride. And so what we need to look at is the last of it, the base of it. We're getting cleaned up on the surface. We're getting filled with knowledge that is bringing us down to the deeper part. And deep calls to deep. Now we must look at the very base of that root. And that base that is so hard and so difficult in each and every one of us to deal with. I believe it's the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of Satan himself, who was rebellious against God.
You know, that's interesting because rebellion digs in, right? And when I wrapped my hands around that root and I pulled with all of my might, I didn't budge that thing. And then I went after it with a machete. And sometimes in the deliverance ministry, when we're seeing things in other people, we go after it with a machete. We're trying desperately to kill that thing. And yet, if you don't pluck it up. So today when I get out there, I don't know what tools I'm going to employ. And I just don't want to put poison on it. You know, someone said, just poison it. But I don't want that poison to get into that, into next to the rose bush. So I've got to get in there and dig out how deep this thing is. And maybe the root system has intertwined with the root system of the rose tree. And that's going to be an issue. So I need the wisdom of God to do it, but I know in deliverance sometimes we whip out our sword and we're ready to go after this rebellion that we see, and we're just hacking away at it. We're killing the, you know, parts of it. We're getting parts of it done. But if you don't get to the root, what's the point? It'll only grow back again.
That's correct.
And man, that root, you described it perfectly, rebellion. In the innermost part of our existence, there is a hostility and an enmity against God. The carnal mind will not obey God, cannot obey God. And so it's getting there to get that out. And we think a lot of times that our labor is just getting rid of the grass, but that's just the cover. There's a lot of cover up that has to go.
And all who are born in this earth are born with the spirit of rebellion, because it is the foundation of the devil himself. And when Adam and Eve fell, they fell because of rebellion. And God has a plan for our freedom that will shatter the chains of that cycle forever. It will stop it in your life and stop it from passing on to your children. But you must recognize what you're dealing with, and that God's power is meant to bring us to this point to deliver us fully and completely and solely from the spirit of rebellion. When we know that we're doing wrong and we continue to do that wrong, when we understand that it is not the will of Father that we should do it, but thank God we have God that can take us away out of that everlasting curse. Or else that curse will take us forever, and we will be wrapped in it forever, never knowing true freedom and redemption. But he has given us his son, who overcame that work of rebellion, went down to hell and messed with Satan and destroyed the work of the rebellion. Now we must receive it in grace and with graciousness.
Well, amen to that. And it's God's grace that's going to deliver the people. I want to just applaud the people that are tuning into this radio broadcast right now that can endure these types of conversations. No, we're not talking about the Russian invasion, the Chinese invasion, the manipulation, the conspiracies today. We're talking about very personal things in the life of believers. And when we talk about these issues, to stay with it, it just means it's a sincerity in your heart. You want to know something. You want to get delivered. Some people, that spirit will just say, I don't want to hear this, and we'll hang up, go somewhere else, get distracted, do something else. So I applaud you for continuing on with us today. And what you need to look into your heart about, and what I need to look into my heart about, and what we all need to look, is our obedience to God selective. Because rebellion, again, doesn't just show raw rebellion against God. I hate God. I won't do anything God says. No, selective obedience is a form of rebellion. Rebellion has to be covered up. It has to be covered up with the green grass. It has to be looking okay. You know, it's very selective. What God is calling for you and I to Him, now listen, it's to God, is raw obedience. Raw obedience.
Not only has Jesus set us free from our sins, and we have to remember this, He has set us free from the penalty, that moral liability, and the ongoing curse of that sin. And that sin is rebellion in each and every one of us, but manifests in different ways. And Jesus Christ is the anointed one. That means He is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God in our lives. And now it's time to get on to the work and become part of the great awakening, understanding what has kept us back, giving knowledge to the depths of our understanding, that we may do this incredible work by the power of the Lord in no other way. There's no other way this could be achieved. It could only be achieved by the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit. So we thank God. We thank God that this has been granted to us. Instead of hiding and feeling condemned, let us rejoice and rise up and change.
Amen. Amen. Patricia, let me read a few verses here coming on the word obedience. And I went over 30 minutes today. I just wanted to make sure that I just felt like we need to go 90 minutes today. Yesterday was 2 hours. But I want to bring some scriptures about obedience. When you type in the word obedient or obedience in the Word of God, it begins in Romans 1:5. And there's Romans 1:5 talks about we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. We get the grace. We've received grace and apostleship, Paul said, for obedience to the faith. Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And then Romans 16:19, for your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad thereof on your behalf. And then in Romans 16:26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. I'm sorry, women. I had to just put that scripture in there. It's in there. And then 2 Corinthians 7:15, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you while you remember the obedience of you all. So I can go on down. There are many more scriptures, but there's one word here that seems to encompass the meaning. Obedience is simply, it's the hupakoa or the hupakoe, and the hupakoe simply means attentive hearkening compliance or submission. Now think about this. God has called you and I to be compliant or submissive, to attentive hearkening, not just listening but not doing. You know, he who hears but does not do deceives himself, right? So it's attentive hearkening, and there's an actual deeper Greek word here, what is the hupakouo, and the hupakouo seems to be the root of this thing, and it means to hear under, as a subordinate, to listen attentively, to heed or conform to a command or authority. Now, to heed or conform to a command or authority. You and I are called to obey God. So when we read the scriptures and we do what the scriptures say, we are obeying God. But we cannot be selective in what scriptures we're going to obey. And I'll give you an example. The word of God says, obey those who have the rule over you. Speaking of the divinely ordained authority of God. In other words, there is your submission to God must also be willing to submit to God's authority in your life. And when we witness people not giving ear or obeying the word of God in their obedience to what the word of God says, we know that there's rebellion there. We know that there's pride there. I'm not going to submit to any man. No one's telling you to submit to any man, but God is saying to submit to the righteous authority. Now, government, when it comes to the government of God, like in with Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States. Are we to submit to Donald Trump or submit to the government? Well, if it's righteous government, the answer is yes, because God has ordained that power that we should submit to. That's Romans 13. Not unrighteous government. No way. Not unrighteous authority. But to submit to righteous, God-ordained government is the right thing to do. Your thoughts?
Well, you may, you know, I ask all the time, how important is it to God that we obey? I mean, how about faith? How about just loving him? But in the Gospel of John, obedience to God is underscored time and time again. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey what I command if you love me. And the great commandments in Matthew 22:36-40 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment, is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And again, if you love me, you will obey me, says the Lord. And what does he say? That we must obey. We must love.
Amen. Well, what we did today is we opened the telephone lines up. We stayed an extra 30 minutes because we wanted to have communion with the saints that are calling into the broadcast. The number to call is 818-369-0326. We are broadcasting live on omegaradio.org as well, and that's going all over the world right now to every country that has the internet. The potential is there, but we also are on Blog Talk Radio, and people are listening on their iPads, computers, but there are many that have called into the broadcast. And so if you have a question or a comment about what we're talking about today, yesterday, maybe something you'd like to just share, if you dial the number 818-369-0326, press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the conversation. And listen, every one of us are called to raw obedience to the word of God. We're all called to submit to one another in the love of Christ. We're all called to faith. We're all called to forgiveness. We're all called to do the same thing. What we want to do is know that God is good. We can trust God. And you say, well, I could trust God, I just can't trust people. And I understand that fully. But if God has put something in play on the earth that belongs to him, we need to trust that that thing will be good for us because it's from God. And how do we know what's from God and what's not from God? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have fruit to discern? Can you tell by the fruit? Can you look at it and say, this is the will of God. So we are waiting for your call. We've got a number of minutes left in the broadcast, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the conversation. Maybe there's something totally other than what we've been talking about today. You want to get out for some information for the people that are listening. And also, while we're waiting for calls to come in, Patricia and I would like to invite you to become a part of this ministry in a very special way. But before I go any further, many calls just came into the broadcast. So let's go ahead and begin to take those calls. Beginning in area code 605-695 was the first call. Let's take it. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. This is
good
me.
Morning. Hi, me. We know you.
I was reading this morning in my devotion book, and it took me to Psalm 32. I guess it's very fitting for what you're telling today, because I was reading. I have three questions. Okay, in Psalm 32, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Now, number one question, we were all conceived in iniquity. So that is that carnal nature, which is actually against God's very nature. I believe that's right. Then I read on down, and in the ninth verse in Psalm 32, it talks about how it says, "Don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit in its mouth to keep it in line." So, as we are on this journey with the Lord in our lives, once we receive Him, we need to be, like you were bringing out, we have to stay close, and we have to take this Bible that we have been given through the saints of old. And we have to not only read it, but we have to apply it. So my question in the end is this. Even though the tests get hard at times and the storms are vicious, God knows if we're going to make it, right?
Well, absolutely He does. And he knows what we can take. And He brings us into situations that He always makes a way of escape. There's no doubt about that. Patricia, do you have a thought to that question?
The Lord has called us into His rest, and He wants that peace for us now. And the only way we can do that, in my belief, in my estimation, is that we must understand our motives for everything. Examine our motives. And when we know that they have been examined, then we do the right thing when we have come into a situation that we are being brought into, regardless of what it is. Have we the right motive in our relationships and in our thoughts and in our manners? Once we know we're pure in that manner, the rest that we come into is incredible. And we trust God that He'll do it for us. Not that we just do it in our own strength, in our own power, but He will give us insight and ability and clarity. And this is where we're going.
Well, amen to that. And it was a great question, and we thank you for asking it, Kathy. Stay on the line with us. We're going to take our next call coming in from 479-855. You are on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Well, you know, an interesting development happened with me today listening to you on the radio. And I found myself thinking back to two things that I had done over 50 years ago, even before I was a Christian. And I had to ask forgiveness for those things. And that was a real blessing, because I had never thought of them. And listening to you begin, you and Pastor Patricia talking, it brought it to mind. And that was a real blessing. You know, the problem that seems to be maybe with a lot of us is that we aren't ready to go ahead and do the very things that you're talking about. Maybe Satan had a hold on us and was able to block it out of our minds. But as we become more and more purified, as we begin to receive the blessings of the Lord, to know what he wants for each and every one of us, those things come to mind, and he clears them out of our conscience. And it's a beautiful thing to see what God is doing.
Well, I think it's absolutely beautiful.
Yes, it is. And let me say one thing to Pastor Ken. Is that okay? Is
sure.
that permitted?
Sure.
Pastor, last night I was listening to Omega Radio, and you came on and took the place of the roundtable discussion. And there was a ministry that went on from there that was exposing the depths of our hearts. And it was so profound and so good, I came to the understanding at that moment that we do have an alertness in this body that we are contained in, not only in our physical body, but in the corporate body in which God placed us in. And as you were speaking, you were bringing forth the depths of how much we have been forgiven. And I was just hearing another word regarding that previously. And so when we have this alertness, this revelation of what we have done in the past, and it's been buried, we hadn't seen it before, what happens is that the grace of God comes in and just brings a clearer understanding and lifts us up into another level of his glory, not ours, his. And he in us and we in him become so entrenched, our lives change, and the peace is incredible, and we enjoy every aspect of it. And that's what happened. And now I'm hearing this from you, in which you have already made clear at a roundtable discussion. So I think God's work is perfect.
Yeah, I think Pastor Ken is an amazing pastor, and I know he's going to be going out one day into this. But what I just heard was the grass was cleared out of the way. You see, in the weeds down there, there was a bunch of grass. There was cover that wasn't exposing the root, the real problem. And God is, in what just happened to him, was getting rid of some of the cover and getting down to the root. And that is the potency and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it not, Pastor Ken?
Oh, by all means, Pastor. Really, I guess the main reason I really wanted to call, because I could have told you this at any time, but I think it was important for other people to hear as well. Now, I think, again, I'm going to go back to the roots that you were talking about on there. The question is, and this is not being negative towards you at all, but why did it take you so long to go back to those roots and get them out, where we could have gotten them out earlier on and we wouldn't have a big issue going and laboring to get them out? Now, that's the very thing that I had to face and realize. And now is the time where, as you continue to talk, as you continue to bring these things out, it's really important for people to hear them, because this was 50 years ago and they just came up, you know. And it was a beautiful thing when I was able to just come right before the Lord and humble myself before him and say, Lord, thank you for bringing it to my memory. Please forgive me for what I have done, you know, and such a freeing type of thing. But so many times we don't want to face it. But that is something I've heard over and over, and they never came to mind, but they did this morning as you were talking, and I'm really grateful for you bringing it up and for the Spirit of God working on me accordingly. And that's what we all have to go ahead and do, is open ourselves up to receive and to know and to forgive.
Well, amen to that. And you bring up an excellent point about why did it take so long? And I know for me, it's like we live in a rented house. And I was hoping the landscapers would do it and just kind of let it go by and just realize that, you know what, they wanted to charge so much money to do it. I said, forget that, or do it ourselves. And so, but yeah, it took longer than it should, and it's been a great lesson, and that's a great call. Let's take one more call coming in at this time. We've still got plenty of time for calls. We're going to hear from our dear Elder George coming all the way from Wisconsin. Good morning, Elder George. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. And I just amen to Ken's and Kathy's and what you, you and Patricia have been. You're more than blowing the trumpet. You're making us aware of our little hidden things that the enemy, Satan, would like to keep hidden. But you know what? When you talk obedience, I think of Jesus Christ, how obedient he was to the Father to go to the cross. He knew that he was going to do it. But that was being obedient. And that obedience, wow, it was another D-Day for us Christians, and providing a way of eternal life and forgiveness of our sins, the blood that was shed, the whole thing. He was being obedient to his Father.
Mm-hmm. That is so profound, George, and so absolutely true. And if he hadn't done it, we could never, ever come out of our gross sin. We would be in it forever. So we are so thankful for what he has done in his obedience that we may be free because of it. And I want to add to that I heard you also on the roundtable discussion last night. It was an old recording, but it was so profound. And you had done such a good job that I was rejoicing with the wisdom that God was presenting through you also. And it made that whole teaching that was going forth about deliverance just absolutely exciting. And I want to thank you for it.
Amen.
I want to thank the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. God bless you, Elder George. All right. Well, these are great calls. These are our friends locally and from around the country. We know that we're broadcasting to different nations right now. Anybody that may be listening, we seem to have a lot of people following us on Facebook. But I'm glad to have the discussion. And, our bottom line is the roots. You know, we could talk from now into eternity about the last days. We could talk from now to eternity about the end times, the things going on, and they are horrific. God is giving dreams and visions to his people. I mean, this is amazing time, but we got to get rid of the roots, and we have to ask ourselves, how deep are those roots? Now, there is a gardener, and his name is Yeshua, Jesus, that is able to reach in and prune his vine. Now, because he is the vine, we are the branches, he's not going to allow these things to wrap themselves around us without tending to it, correct? And so, go ahead.
Oh, no.
What did you say?
No, please go on.
Right, but I wanted to hear what you had to say.
Okay, well, I just wanted to make it very clear that our rewards are great, and we shall see the face of God very soon in throughout eternity, and he will be with us in our presence, and he has prepared a place for us, and no one thing that this present life, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come in you, and it's already started.
Amen, and that glory comes when these roots are gone. And so I want to pray a prayer for everybody out there today, for ourselves, for you. I want to pray that the Master Gardener, through his spiritual wisdom and intelligence, will get to the root in our lives that has brought disruption or has attempted to stop. You see, the rose tree out there, the little rose bush that I'm working on, it still puts roses on it. But there is much of it that has died, the things around it. But this thing was wrapping itself around like a serpent around a tree. And we right now, by the anointed word of God, pray that every root in our lives that is choking the fruit of the new creation in us will be rendered weak and incapable of stealing, killing, and destroying anymore the eternal purpose of God in our lives. that our lives will come forth in full bloom manifestation of a new creation, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit will come forth in the hundredfold, and that the deep root of rebellion that was exposed here today, we rebuke it, we bind it, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Right now, we come against the spirit of rebellion, which is as a sin of witchcraft. In the name of Jesus Christ, rebellion against God, hidden rebellion covered by the green grass of looks good and good works. Lord Jesus, we ask you to take the roots out of our lives. We thank you that you're already working. You've done a masterful job in many of us in dealing with so many different things, but you're getting now to the nitty-gritty for a full and complete deliverance among those that desire it. And Lord, this conversation doesn't go on all the time, but we're asking that you would apply your hands to the roots that have stood in contradiction to your purpose for us and yank it out. Get rid of them, Lord. Do what needs to be done to get rid of the roots of rebellion and pride in our hearts and in our minds. And may we feel the unction of joy unspeakable and full of glory as those ugly, strong, heavy roots of rebellion and pride are gone, fashioned by our iniquity and sin from the generations going all the way back. Deliver us and set us free. We don't want any roots of sin or the old creation around us blocking, preventing the full display of what you have done in our lives. We are your workmanship, Jesus, and we're asking for freedom today from the roots that are very powerful, and we yield to your ability in Jesus' name.
And one other thing, help us, Lord, not to think of ourselves greater than we are, for there is only one great one, and that is you, you alone, and no other. Keep our hearts humble and submitted, and thank you for helping us to understand the work of obedience. In this way, we will know the great love you have for us. In Jesus Christ, amen.
And amen. You know, if you enjoy these radio broadcasts, we're going to reach out today and just let you know that you can support it financially. It would be a great blessing to Patricia and I if you were to just go to the omegaradio.org. That's a website, omegaradio.org. Consider sending a blessing to this ministry. It's free. It goes all over the world. We're trusting that it reaches out far and wide. And we just thank you for your giving to Omega Radio. .org. There's a PayPal system you could give. I want to thank a number of people out there that have given their donations along the way. Our friends out there, God bless you. We appreciate you. We appreciate the body of Christ. We appreciate the fact that we have this ability to preach the gospel, and we pray that it has genuine spiritual meaning and value to your life and the lives of people that may be listening in different places. That's what we want. And we want to just say thank you and God bless you. We're going to return now to a roundtable discussion on the Omega Radio Network. And listen, I heard some of the greatest preaching on the Omega Radio Network on omegaradio.org. Get there, listen, 24/7. Stuff is amazing the way that the Holy Spirit has selected the teachings just for you. Right now on the Omega Radio Network is Patricia Joy Xavier leading a Bible study at the roundtable discussion. And here it goes. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.